It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Now they're in New Orleans getting set for a Pelicans team that is 20-53, and they're down essentially their entire starting lineup. This is a must-win game for the Golden State Warriors. This is as must-win as the 10th-to-last regular season game gets.
I mean, sure. The way you put it, yeah. But
and now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If this team sleepwalks through this game the way they did the Hawk game, the Denver game with a zillion guys out, the Miami Heat game, honestly, there's no excuse. Like, this team will lose the benefit of the doubt. If they sleepwalk through this game and they don't handle business, they will lose all credibility with everyone, including myself. And I think the fan base will not tolerate anything other than a victory. And I'm not saying you got to win by 40. That's just win the game. Just win the game.
Just
and
win, baby.
Show me in the first 5 minutes that you care. Because the last couple of nights when they've played, it feels like you could tell early on they just weren't ready to go.
Early and get slow starts.
Awful.
It's been ridiculous. I can bring up this stat here. Give me just a sec. But the slow starts on the road specifically have been really bad of late. They've been, so I go back to the last road trip. Remember that was the Orlando, Philadelphia, Charlotte, Knicks, and Nets road trip. And then the first two games of this road trip. So their last seven road games, Joe Shasky, they've been outscored in the first half in six of those seven by a net total of 59 points in the first half over seven games.
Wow.
And that includes when they beat Charlotte by 9 points in the first half.
That's incredible.
Outscored by Orlando by 14 in the first half, by 12 by the Sixers in Philadelphia, 8 against the Knicks, 5 against the Nets, and it was worse against the Nets. They were down 22 in the first quarter against the Nets. At halftime in Atlanta, down 12. Halftime in Miami, down 17.
I mean,
and most of those are with Steph, by the way.
The Miami game, I kept saying to these guys in the group thread, we're lucky to not be down 25.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they should have been down worse. They couldn't hit anything. They couldn't execute. They couldn't stop anything. And Bam Adebayo destroyed them. Who is going to be the random athletic big who is going to absolutely destroy them tonight?
Well, good thing Zion is out, because it would be Zion. Zion might go for 30 and 15 against this Warrior team right now.
30? I mean, try like 40. I mean, Bam is not a scorer, and he went for 28.
He's been amazing. But yeah, I mean, Cat hurt them.
Cat, OG, Okongwu.
Even Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes killed them. I mean, this has been a theme. I mean, it's been consistent.
Aaron Gordon, 38 for Aaron Gordon.
And could have had more.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But like, they cannot stop these guys. And so they got to come out and play hard. And I'm looking at two guys in particular. We could talk about Steph playing, not playing, whatever.
Questionable.
Okay, like, and I hear the argument of rest, and, you know, they're not playing anyone, so we can get out of there. I don't care who suits up tonight for both teams. Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green need to show up tonight. That's who needs to show up tonight. You know, Dre's looked sluggish, and I'll give him this. He's played in a lot of games. He hasn't missed a lot of time lately, and so he looked exhausted. But when YouTube put out a video of you guys basically like laughing at everybody, like looking down at them. Like, that's how I viewed the domino video that they put out. It was like,
you think that was a big deal?
I just think it's a bad look when you don't show up back-to-back games on the road when your season's on the line. That all those videos are cute and funny and hilarious when you're winning. When you literally show me that you don't care about playing and it looks like you want to run out of the arena, I don't find any of that stuff cute. Mm. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying it's a bad look. Is it not?
It's just enjoying a couple of days off in Miami.
You can do that without posting it and making it look like you're on top of the world.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I do. I think all of these things, like, it's, you know, I was having a talk with the boss about this. Like, I try not to be photographed with anyone like having a drink or a cocktail in their hand.
Yeah,
and the reason being is like, people view things out of context. And they see things and they're like, oh, he's out partying. I don't even drink anymore. But you get where I'm going at with that. Like, it's the perception. It's how it's going to land. It's me knowing that I'll post that photo and then four or five, a month later, however many days, someone will look at that and assume what was going on within that photo. So when you post those videos, you make it seem like, oh, yeah, we're taking care of business. And then you post those videos of you playing dominoes and yucking it up. Yeah, that's funny. And it's, and then you don't show up. Like, then it looks like to me that Miami trip was a big joke when the season's on the line and the fans, the perception is the fans care more than you. And that's a bad place to be.
Well, you are right that the season is on the line. The last two losses and paired with a Clippers win in New York the other day, the Clippers are now above you in the standings. They have the same exact record as you, 41-31, but they're now the sixth seed by virtue of the tiebreaker. They've won all three games that they've played against the Warriors this year. Warriors are only a half game ahead of the T-Wolves for the seven.
It's terrifying where they're at.
Warriors do have the tiebreaker on the T-Wolves, so if they finish with the same record, the Warriors will jump ahead of them. But still, not a good spot to be in right now, and it only gets worse, Shasky, because GP2, who's been playing really good basketball of late, is now out for an indefinite amount of time. And if I had to guess, he's not going to play again this regular season because he suffered a partially torn ligament in his thumb. And now the Warriors have to try to go through the rest of this regular season, and who knows, maybe in a play-in or a postseason series without Gary Payton II. It's rough.
The energy level of these guys will tell me how they want to play. Because I'm looking at it, and obviously when you don't have great shooting around you, you're not hitting shots, things are going to look lethargic. But was their energy good in the first half against the Hawks or the Miami Heat?
No.
In the Heat game in particular, it looked like, all right, third quarter, halftime, let's start to try to play some defense. By then, it was too late.
There was maybe an individual or two who showed, like, Guy Santos came in energetic in the second quarter or in the first quarter.
Sure.
And Buddy Hield honestly did too in Miami.
Well, I think Buddy Hield's actually been trying really hard on defense. Shots aren't falling for him, but I have not seen that affect his activity level, contesting shots on defense. Quite frankly, Buddy Hield's a better defender than I thought just all year. He's been better. Is he great? No, but it's not for a lack of trying. I do think he really tries on defense. I'm talking about Jimmy and Draymond. It's just the sense that I get was they were going through the motions. That's what it looked like in the last couple of games. Well, and I don't think they can afford to do that.
What's upset me about the last couple of games, and this isn't some big statement on who they are as a basketball team. They're without Steph. It's going to look different. They're nowhere near as good without Steph, of course. But where I get a little frustrated, Shasky, is post-Atlanta, you have Draymond saying, we can't have games like this. They just came out and played harder. We got to be ready for games. We won't let this happen again. Okay, that's what you say post-Atlanta. And then the same exact thing happens in Miami. You just say, well, yeah, they played harder. Like, there's no room for the other team played harder. I don't care if you're 35. I don't care if you're 23. I don't care if you're in a playoff spot.
I'm totally with you.
You can't. There's no room for that excuse. You could just say they were making shots. We weren't making ours. It happens in this league sometimes. We can't keep losing games. Like, we know this is important. But if you say you're admitting that the other team is playing harder than you, and we can all see it on the court as well, there is absolutely zero room for that at this stage of the season.
Well, and it would be one thing if they had gone straight from Atlanta to Miami and maybe they only got a night of rest or multiple nights of rest. They had like 5 days in Miami.
Yeah, they had 2 days off after Atlanta getting ready for the game, and then they had a couple of days off after the Miami game,
too. So there should be no excuses.
Especially tonight, but even in Miami.
But I'm talking about tonight, yes. But like the Miami, again, this is why you got to just be careful when you post videos like that. Things are going to land on someone's doorstep without the context. And it's going to be how people are going to perceive it. I'm just telling you the reality of how fans perceive things.
Yeah. No, I mean,
they better show up tonight, whether Steph plays or not. And I will know by their activity level on defense, deflections, offensive rebounding, boxing out, all of the little stuff. That's how I'm going to be able to tell if they're ready to go or not.
The 510 on our text line, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. We will win, but Jimmy and Draymond ain't going to do too much. Just saying.
Draymond's had a great, up until the recent road trip, he was great for like a month and a half offensively.
He was good. Aggressive.
I would argue it's the best offensive month he's had since like 2016. That's how good he's been.
The 415 also saying, some nights you got it, some nights you don't. You can't hit shots. You just can't hit a shot. You got to hit shots to win games. And that's part of it. That's a big reason why they've lost some games, but it goes so much deeper than just making or missing couple of games.
That's a cop-out to me because that doesn't take an accountability that they stopped playing defense early in games and have been... great example. First play of the second half. First play of the second half against the Miami Heat. Draymond is guarding Bam Adebayo full court, and he thinks he gets an 8-second violation. You play through the whistle. Okay, it doesn't get called. You argue it at the break, at the next whistle, at the next dead ball, whatever it is. Draymond stops, turns, throws a tantrum. No one else is aware that Bam Adebayo is now flying down the lane. You don't stop the ball. Not one of the other four defenders comes over to stop ball. He gets a right down the middle layup dunk. Does he not? To me, that is focus, paying attention, playing through the whistle, energy. Stop whining and play ball. It just is what it is. Like, that possession to me was so indicative of the mindset through the first two games of the road trip.
Why do you think the mindset has been that way? Why do you think the energy level, is it because they're old and they're tired and they're exhausted?
Well, no, I'll buy that for Dre. Dre's played a lot of games. Jimmy had months off. I don't want to hear it for Jimmy. And look, Moses Moody was playing his butt off in that game. I thought he tried hard. He didn't play well, but I thought he tried really hard.
0 for 9 from deep.
Podziemski didn't play well, but I thought he tried hard. I didn't think he played well at all.
Those are younger guys, so is just an age thing. I don't know.
I don't know, man. To me, it's an attention to detail. And I thought Bam just took it to them.
He did. Bam was great.
They had no answer for him.
Okay, so then the conversation shifts to, well, all right, if this is who the Warriors are, how can they get out of this little funk that they're in? And they have to do it without Gary Payton II, who tore a ligament in his left thumb and is out indefinitely. Steve Kerr, speaking before or after practice yesterday in New Orleans, had this to say about GP2's absence.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Interesting from Steve Kerr. So
what part for you?
The whole thing. Steve Kerr saying without GP2, essentially, we're now going to be asking Jonathan Kuminga to fill the GP2 role, which is to be a point of attack defender against the opposing team's best like wing player.
Which he has done at times in the last couple years.
At times. I don't think he's ever really done it consistently.
No, they had Wiggins, and when Wiggins was out, though, and GP2 was injured last year, I thought he did a pretty good job of that, but continue.
And then offensively, it's just fill in the dunker spot, and if you're open in the corner, take the three.
I've been waiting for them to utilize him in the offense that way for a while. Like, Carter, we literally had this conversation. Was it me and Evan? Was it Evan?
I think so.
Yeah. We were literally having this conversation. Like, the Warriors run various offenses, but one of them is like a motion 4x1, mm-hmm. meaning four on the out, one on the in. And the one guy on the in goes anywhere from the corner to the dunker spot to up to the elbow and then back down to the other block into that dunker spot. And I've noticed that they put basically Looney, or they'll put GP2 in that spot. They did for a little while try Moses Moody there. That was the whole, hey, Moses is a four, when they had Quinton Post out there as a stretch five. This is what they should be doing with Jonathan Kuminga, given where they're at right now. Yes, I like this. I think this is great. I don't want JK out on the wing having to make decisions about getting downhill when there are other four other guys out on the wing. He's not a good top of the three-point shooter. Stop having him catch the ball there as the shot clock's winding down. I call them grenades, okay?
Oh, yeah.
End of the shot clock. Hey, kick it back out. You got to take this shot. There's too many of those for him in particular. Go make a play. We did this with Klay Thompson in the Lakers series. They basically turned Klay into a, you will put the ball on the floor and make plays, playmaker, and that's not his skill set. I want him catching and shooting and coming off screens and being decisive. I don't want him putting the ball on the floor and creating for himself or for others. I don't want Kuminga to do that either right now. I don't think that's playing into his skill set. I also don't like him back to the basket, catching the ball at the block. Right. And just saying, hey, you're post this guy up. He doesn't have a post up move. He's better when he faces someone in that short corner, and he's better when he's facing up inside the key. He's not better with his back to the basket. Not currently.
So let me ask you this, because I agree with you. I think the way for Kuminga to be the most effective right now, or at least to fill a need that the Warriors need, it's what you're talking about. It is maybe a lesser offensive role, and it's not a creator. It is when someone else creates, you're the finisher. And Kuminga would be great at that.
Absolutely. Think about how many times, for example, you would see Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, where Draymond catches it at the elbow. This is back in the day. Throwing up the lob to Iggy, who's cutting baseline.
Off a Steph double. Steph gets the ball to Draymond. You have a 4-on-3 and then tic-tac-toe dunk.
I call it the high-low, the tic-tac-toe. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. You never see that for Kuminga. You see it for GP2 a lot. You know, and they did it for JaVale McGee at times because he would play in that dunker spot. The problem is that JK doesn't move really well without the ball. He needs to get better at that.
Let me ask you this. Is it, because I think there's a lot of different opinions out there. You have the people who say, all right, it's up to Steve and the coaching staff to put JK in that spot, in that position. Or it's up to JK to accept that that's your role on this team. And you have to be willing to do that. Yes.
See, to me, it's both, right? Because like running some elements of high pick and roll with him and Jimmy, and he's the roller to the basket, that's just an easy fix to me. I'd like to see that. I think it opens things up for Jimmy as a playmaker, and it gets him on some advantageous switches, and then it allows Jonathan Kuminga to go downhill and put pressure on the rim. Mm. That's where he's at his best.
Downhill,
don't dribble, catch, couple steps, dunk, right?
Yes.
That's when he's at his best. He's also really good finishing around the rim and creating contact and getting to the free throw line. So I'm trying to limit where he catches the ball right now. I got to get him going and feeling confident. And then yeah, we could expand some things. Do I want him in the read and react system on the outside exclusively and just as a decision maker? Not really. And when Steph's not on the floor, you know, it doesn't highlight the rest of the team's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I'm with you.
When you run just that. The analogy that I use is like, hey, look, Steph is kind of like Lamar Jackson. He's very, very unique. I wouldn't want Joe Flacco running Lamar Jackson's offense, right? It's just not a good use of him. You have to amend some things to be able to accentuate what Joe Flacco does well. I'm not saying I change everything for Jonathan Kuminga, but in these overlapping minutes when Steph's off the floor, run some stuff that gets some free looks, not just for Jonathan Kuminga, but for Jimmy, the guy making $60 million. Because right now everyone's sagging off him. And so you've got to find some creative ways to get things going. The team as a whole has taken way too many late shot clock prayers and 24-second violations because they're running a bunch of motion with no shooters who are threats. That to me is very simple. And I think that the staff is sophisticated enough to know that. And so I'm hoping we'll see some wrinkles.
But I also think even if the Warriors say, JK, this is what we need you to do, this is how you're going to help this team, occupy the dunker spot, get it in transition, run the floor, play good defense, I think there's a pretty big part of Kuminga, and I cannot blame him for it, who wants more than that. And is maybe a little hesitant to accept that.
We don't know what he wants. Do you know what he wants?
He wants a big money contract this offseason.
But that doesn't mean that he wants the ball in his hands at every single possession. And I mean, like, everyone wants to get paid. I don't fault him for that.
I don't fault him either. It's the natural way to feel.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is the role that Steve Kerr... Well, let's listen to it again. Here's okay. Steve Kerr on GP2's injury, okay. And he brings up Kuminga almost immediately.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player, you know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
I don't see anything egregious with that. That's actually, I think, brilliant. That's exactly how they should be attacking it. And if Jonathan Kuminga can grow into that role and really lean into it, the money will all sort itself out. Winning trumps everything.
It's easy to say that. If I'm in, I mean, I don't know how JK feels. You're okay. Right. But if I put myself in JK's shoes and I see my head coach with 10 games left in the regular season and I'm trying to get a big contract this summer and I see my coach say, or he's probably telling me the same thing behind closed doors, you're the new GP2. GP2 is a role player. Yeah. Who has bounced around the NBA his entire career, was nothing at this level until he joined the Warriors.
But on this, team,
seventh overall pick, and trying to make $30 million a year.
Well, his money is irrelevant to me because...
I think it's his motivation.
Well, okay, I hear you, but like obsessing about the money that you're going to make is going to cripple you and turn you into Klay Thompson.
I'm not disagreeing
so
with you.
So he needs to wipe that away. And like if you accept this role, all of the money and the playing time and all those things are coming your way. Andre Iguodala is the greatest example of someone accepting a lesser than role for the greater of the good of the team and has reaped all the benefits of it, right? This team's going into the luxury tax one way or the other. Jonathan has one of two choices. Accept his fate and just take it and he'll be good to go. And if they win, he will reap the rewards of the adoration, the money, everything will come his way. Eventually, the time, the playing time, the scoring, all that stuff. If you just accept the role Everything will come your way because winning trumps all. And this ownership is not OKC 10 years ago where they're penny pinching. They're going into the luxury tax next couple of years. And whether it's Pods or JK or GP2 or Kevon Looney, all of the ancillary pieces, the question is not, are you good? The question is, are you good enough to help us win a championship so you can be on this roster next year and the year after? It's not about JK's money. This is about the Golden State Warriors trying to win a championship this year, next year, and the year after. That's the only thing that I'm focused on. And if JK's feelings are hurt or whatever, well then like, honestly, he needs to understand that he needs to be a professional. And it did in Clay's season, and it could do in his season. And that's the cautionary tale.
No, you're right. I'm just, and everything you're saying is right. It's only about what's helping this Warrior team win. It's why Kuminga hasn't been playing a ton of late. He didn't play in the second half really at all in Atlanta, even though he had a great second quarter offensively, because all he was doing on the other half of the floor was losing his guy over and over and over again. And that's why we're talking so much about what Kuminga is being asked to do offensively. I have very little confidence that Kuminga can be the lockdown point of attack defender that Steve Kerr is asking him to be on defense. GP2 is one of the best defenders in the NBA at what the Warriors are asking him to do. I haven't seen that on any consistent level from Kuminga. And I know you don't want to talk about the money, and I know it's not about the money. My only point is, I think for Kuminga it is, and the Warriors are asking him to be GP2. GP2 makes $9 million a year.
Yeah, I mean,
Kuminga wants a whole hell of a lot more than that.
Well,
so he might feel like the pressure is, I need to prove more than that. I'm capable of doing more than that. I am going to try to do more than that.
You can't do that when you're playing sports. You just got to make the next play. You just got to do what's in front of you. If you're thinking that long term ahead, like you're mentally screwed. Like I get what everyone's doing, but like you go out there, you're playing ball, right? You can't obsess about how much money and this and that. If you just make winning plays consistently, all those things come their way and they settle themselves out. Like I get everyone obsessing about $30 million a year. Go around the league. Who's giving him $30 million a year? There aren't a lot of teams that have that wiggle room.
Nope.
Okay? So all of this to me is wasted exercise. I understand why we do it, believe me. And I understand he might feel that way. Caldwell Anthony Pope thought he was getting $35 million a year. Malik Monk thought he was getting $35 million a year. Both those guys took lesser than both of them. And Klay Thompson thought he was getting more than the $24 million a year that the Warriors offered him on the front end. He ended up signing for a fraction of that. The reality is that you need to just focus on the controllables. And what JK can control right now is his energy, his effort, and his focus on the floor. If he does those things, everything's going to fall in place.
I hear you. I got my concerns about it, but I think there's also a half of this that is what the Warriors asking him to do, what they've asked him to do this whole season. Is it even fair to Kuminga? We can get into that on the other side
as well. That's a whole other question.
And we can dive into that. Plus, we got.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.